Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Well, thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, and David Smith is the executive director of the Illinois Family Institute,
Hello.
Illinois Family Action. And joining our conversation is State Representative Jeannie Ives, a Republican representing the Wheaton area, and of the members of the General Assembly, she is one of the most vocal critics of the so-called grand bargain budget plan that's been cobbled together by Senate leaders John Cullerton and Christine Redonio. Representative Ives, why is the grand bargain a bad deal for families?
Not so grand.
And businesses in Illinois.
It's the opposite direction that the state of Illinois needs to go. I mean, we do not need another tax hike with minimal and minor reforms. And we don't need six new gambling casinos, which
That's right.
where our market is already saturated. So this program that they've got is basically 13 interlocking bills. If one doesn't pass, then none of it happens. And, you know, hopefully one of them doesn't pass, because this is the wrong way for Illinois. We can't afford it. Another tax hike just means businesses leave, families leave, and it's immoral for them to ask for more money when they have not reformed their major spending items.
One of the things I hear some of the political pundits throughout the state of Illinois say is, look, we can't solve Illinois' fiscal problems without increasing revenues. Jeannie, tell us, is it possible to get to a responsible budget with cuts, just cuts alone?
What's the path forward?
Well, yesterday I stood with Illinois Policy Institute, and we rolled out their budget solutions 2018, and that actually balances the budget, you know, basically gives you $7.1 billion in reforms, gets us down to just spending $33 billion, which is what we're estimated to take
in. In other words, responsible size of government.
Yes, and it doesn't actually say, you know what, we're going to cut this line item, we're going to cut that line item, and we're going to cut this line item. They look at it in basically just a couple of major areas that we're going to reform. One of those is pensions.
Mm-hmm.
Spending 25% of our money on pensions is immoral. We can't do it. And the way they do it is very constitutional. And unfortunately, the media is misrepresenting exactly what their plan is. We do not move current employees into a 401k. We say new hires get a 401k, a very generous 401k. We invite Tier 2 employees who are getting taken advantage of by the system, we invite them in to this comprehensive pension plan that gives them the freedom to move around and move their money. Right now, they're in a Ponzi scheme. Their money, Tier 2, is supporting only Tier 1 and current retirees. It is immoral to ask from them. They have a negative return. So this is large-scale pension reform that needs to happen. The other thing that we're really getting pushback from on this plan is that they're saying, oh, you take 600,000 people off of Medicaid. Well, I don't think that your listeners know this, but currently, one out of four Illinoisans is on state Medicaid.
What?
One out of four.
Wow.
We already know that one out of two babies is born to Medicaid, on Medicaid in the state of Illinois. But one out of four Illinoisans are in Medicaid. It wasn't that way just 4 years ago. But when they expanded Medicaid to give able-bodied single adults medical care, taxpayer-funded Medicare under the Obamacare expansion, that's what happened. It ballooned. 600,000 new people came onto the Medicaid rolls. The estimate back when they were passing the bill was only about 325,000.
Wow.
And so
that is a major.
Yes.
Thank
so
you,
yes,
Governor
you're
Pat
right.
Quinn.
Right. Well, what we're doing is we are scaling that back. We're just taking it back to the 2012 standard, and those single able-bodied adults
should be working.
Should be working.
That's
they
right.
should be working.
And
amen.
The
and
media.
And you can't. This is a family issue, though.
This is
you cannot
huge.
Ask the father looking to get a second job, the mother having to pick up a part-time job,
right.
so that we can provide medical care for single able-bodied adults.
That's right.
That's right. We're not talking about disabilities, people in the disability system. We're not talking about other issues that occur with these people that deserve Medicaid services. We're talking about able-bodied, single adults.
But you know how the media will paint this, and you know how the Democrats will paint this. You want to take away care for the poor.
That's exactly how they painted it. That's exactly what they said. You're taking away medical care for 600,000 people. No, we're going back to the 2012 standard, and we're saying single able-bodied adults, you need to accept some personal responsibility, and you need to – now, why is that – that is not controversial when you play it out at the kitchen table with nearly every other Illinoisan busting their butt to make it happen.
That's what the media ignores, the burden that the state of Illinois is putting on working families. Listen, I've got a growing family. I can't afford 2% more of income tax to go to the state of Illinois.
No, that's real money. That is
real money.
To add, you know, an additional $1,600 burden to people. What do they think? I can't pay for the tutor. I can't pay for the sports that my kid wants to be in.
Does Culverton and Redonio and the others who are advocating for this understand the burden they're placing on working families? Do they understand that there is a limit, a breaking point? Do they understand why so many people are hightailing it out of Illinois?
Look, they live in a bubble that is really dominated by lobbyists, special interests, and public sector union folks. And they've lived in that bubble for so long that they have not had a real conversation at the table with people. Their families are grown, by the way. They're not still raising children in this environment. And so they have no idea what the average Illinoisan is going through. And that's what's so mad and I'm so upset about. And honestly, the other thing that's funny about it is when they went out to shop their budget plan, the grand bargain, they went to the editorial boards. They didn't go to the average Illinoisans. They would have been laughed at.
Sure.
Had they taken it to real people.
Or yelled at.
Well, let me ask you, too, about the gambling portion of this. Illinois really hasn't seen a whole lot more revenue come in after they passed all the video slot machines in the bars, have they?
Well, actually, what's happened is essentially the gambling that was happening really moved to the video poker and away from the casinos. And so you've had this diminishment or this, you know, essentially you've got a little bit of market saturation on gambling going on already.
You think so?
Yes, you do. And, I mean, your listeners may find this alarming, but truthfully, I grew up in South Dakota. Look, I'm not opposed to some gambling. I really am not. But, you know, economically in Illinois to depend on it, which is also very interesting because part of their balanced budget actually relies on revenue streams that we do not know about what we would really get back. And so you can't have those types of assumptions in your budget because you're always going to then overspend based on revenue streams you know nothing about. So we don't know really how much more money we'd get if we expanded gambling. We don't really know how much more money we would get if we took on additional taxes on whether it's sugary drinks or a business opportunity tax. I tell you what, those are all loser propositions.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, they're not just talking about more casinos and more slots. They're also talking about fantasy sports betting, daily fantasy sports betting. This puts gambling on your iPhone, your tablet, your computer, and surely,
Let me push back
kids
a little
will
bit
have
here.
Access to it.
Monty, let me push back a little bit. You can already gamble online in the state of Illinois.
Yeah.
You can buy lottery stuff online in the state of Illinois. Mm-hmm. So now what?
Yeah. Well, they just want to expand it and make it
But we already have it.
Yeah.
That's
we already have it. And now you're going to pick and choose who can gamble online, who can't. And that's what you're kind of doing here. So to me, it's, you know, all right.
Right.
We already went down this path. We may go down it again. But basically now, if we're going to oppose gambling online, and I'm not a fan of the fantasy football stuff because I think it is, I think there's some problems with the bill. But I'll be honest with you, it's hard to be on it. It's hard to be consistent when we already allow online gambling.
No.
And we do.
Exactly.
What would happen if, by some chance, the grand bargain did pass? What would be the impact on Illinois?
Illinois would maybe get a little bit relief from the bond market, But those people have kind of been the drug dealers on the corner handing out more money whenever somebody needed a fix. So I don't give them a lot of credibility to some degree. So we may have a little bit of improvement in our bond rating from that standpoint. But the long-term effect is what matters. Not even that, the short-term effect, people will leave over this type of tax hike again. It basically says the politicians in Springfield have not woken up. In fact, it's interesting because and I just met with him yesterday. He's a nice man. Lawrence Massal from the Civic Federation basically was on TV saying, look, it's uncertainty that's driving business and individuals back out of the state of Illinois. That is not true. You pass this tax increase, and now they know for certain that the politicians have not woken up, and this is the path in the future, and it's only going to be more. It's going to beget more. More of this begets more of it.
That's right.
You have nailed down the certainty, and people are leaving over
that. And the point you're making is that the state of Illinois doesn't deserve new revenue because they haven't been proven to be fiscally responsible with what they already have.
Well, that is exactly right. That's why the reform is so important before talking about new revenue at all.
Absolutely.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. Dave and I will continue our conversation with State Representative Jeannie Ives after this.
Hi, this is Kurt Jarrus, the host of Veracity Hill. Veracity Hill is a radio podcast dedicated to striving for truth on faith, politics, and society. I don't have all the answers, but join me as I explore important topics with guests from respective fields. To learn more, text the word VERACITY to 555-888. That's VERACITY to the number 555-888, or check out our website at veracityhill.com.
Americans have been traveling down the health insurance highway for decades. But lately, it's been taking us to places we don't want to go. For Christians, it's hard to know which road to take. Or is it? Samaritan Ministries provides a different direction, a biblical path for their members to pray for each other and share financially in each other's medical needs.
This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. We, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This is what God intended for the church.
Do you believe that you need an insurance company, or do you believe that God will provide your needs? And there are people that you've never met before who are going to pray for you and meet your needs. There's another way.
Looking for a new direction for your health care? Visit us online at SamaritanMinistries.org.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Lurk. This is Dave Smith.
And we're here with Representative Jeannie Ives from Wheaton. She's one of our favorite, boldest, outspoken, pro-life, fiscal responsible lawmakers in the state of Illinois. So we're so glad that she's there. I often say it when I listen to the debates down in Springfield. I'm like, man, I'm glad she's there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, you're there, but do you want to be elsewhere down the road?
Well, it's not even a matter of do you want to be. Unfortunately, in the state of Illinois, which is really sad, I mean, people have come in here, right? They've come in here. They've built their life. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm one of six children. We grew up in South Dakota. And four out of the six of us children moved to Illinois in the early 90s because we all had opportunities here in Illinois. Our families had opportunities. And, gradually our children – and my brother's children are moving out of the state because the opportunities for them are not here.
Yep.
And so what you're doing is you're dividing Illinois families through this budget crisis. And it's unfortunate because, people put their heart and soul into their communities. They volunteer. They get involved. They like their church community. But at some point when you can't afford to live here, when the numbers don't make sense in retirement because you're paying ever-escalating property taxes, what do? You have no choice.
Well,
it's awful.
I can even give you the anecdotal evidence, with our end-of-year mailing, we're asking our supporters for help, and how many of our envelopes come back because they're moved out of town, or even they have a note. I had one note come from somebody who's, we're now in Florida, we're going to support the Florida Family Council. So take us off your list,
Yeah. Well, let me tell you a story. I have a friend that goes to a Bible study with me, and he's a lifelong Democrat. born and raised. In fact, he had a cousin who was a member of the legislature. And he comes up to me and says, Monty, I'm getting a $1,000 a month pay raise. I said, great. I'm moving to Indianapolis.
Wow.
Because of the taxes.
Taxes alone.
Lower
sure.
taxes.
Sure.
He's tired of the corruption, he says. I said, well, you are a lifelong Democrat, so.
That's right. The Democrats are making those decisions as well. As long, in addition, the public pensioners who have siphoned off tons of money from the state of Illinois, they took the deal that they got, but a lot of them knew that the deal was not going to stand up. Anyway.
One of the pension problems is our schools, right? Our schools, teachers, pensions. You've introduced a bill in Springfield for school choice. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So this is a bill that essentially is what Reverend Meeks, who used to be a state senator in Illinois, introduced in, I believe it was 2010.
Okay.
And it passed the state Senate. It did not pass the Illinois House, and it largely did not pass the Illinois House because of Republicans. So it's a bill that I have revised. I actually initiated it three or four years ago when I first entered. Every year I've had this kind of bill up there. And it essentially says, in case all those teachers are worried out there that I'm going to destroy their public schools, which is not the case, it says, look, if you're in the bottom 10% performing schools, you get an opportunity to move to a school that does perform. Now, who can deny that opportunity? One lost year to a child is incredibly important. You can't do this and put them on a path. If they're not reading by third grade, and oh, by the way, two-thirds of our fourth graders do not read at grade level.
Right.
Two-thirds of the eighth graders do not do math at grade level, and this goes on and on in the state of Illinois. So if you cannot, the only way for them to escape is with some sort of ticket out. The voucher gives those parents a ticket out of a bad situation when they are forced, based off their income level and their zip code, to be in a poorly performing school.
Boy, this seems like the minimum we can do.
It's the minimum. It doesn't say, look, if you're a wealthy kid from Winneka, we're going to pay for you to go to the private Catholic school down the road. No, that's not what this does at all.
Well, refresh my memory. Why would Republicans oppose this a few years ago?
This is actually the teacher unions are completely opposed to any sort of system that it would open up competition for educational services, because they want to control it completely. They want to control the money flow. It's all about money.
Well, why would you think it would pass now?
I don't think that it would pass, but I don't think that.
But we need to have the conversation.
But we need to have that conversation, and we need to
keep,
the Representative Ford is a big proponent of this. There's no problem.
Good.
Yeah.
LaShawn Ford from Oak Park.
He represents the west side of Chicago.
Yes.
And he's an African-American who also went to a private school, and they understand it. So the big hypocrites in Springfield are really the hypocrites over the school choice bill, because a number of state legislators, including the speaker himself, have been the beneficiaries of a private school education and have denied it to everybody else. And that is a problem, especially when you're talking about the 10% lowest performing kids. These kids are in failing schools, and it's immoral for us to
well, that's
keep
the point
there.
Too. Jeannie, would you agree with me, and I might be a little harsh here, but those who are opposing school choice, your bill, are actually helping to serve the interests of the teachers unions over the interest of those students in the failing schools?
That's a true statement.
Okay, good.
I rate that true.
Okay.
Not even just mostly true.
And what's aggravating to me is that we know that many of the school teachers who we pay very well in the state of Illinois send their kids to private schools, don't they?
Yes, they do. You have them right in my daughter is still attending St. Michael's in Wheaton.
Sure.
And we have a number of public school teachers that send their kids to Catholic schools.
Does Rahm Emanuel send his kids to private schools?
Yes, he does. And Arne Duncan sends his kids to the lab school at $30,000.
Former President Obama, it's nice to say that, by the way. Former President Obama sends his kids to private schools?
It is absolutely the hypocrisy of the left.
So they have school choice.
They have school choice because they can afford it, and the other kids, and I'm talking about the 10% most failing, who can deny that to them?
Well, how would your school choice bill work? I mean, would it be in the form of a voucher or a tax credit? Or?
This one happens to be the voucher bill because I think it's been tested. Obviously, Milwaukee has a voucher bill. There's a number of our states have a voucher bills. Everybody in the educational choice area really like educational savings accounts much better. That is something completely new to Illinois and would be, I think, a bigger lift, especially since this voucher bill mirrors exactly what a Democrat ran about 6 years ago.
That's right.
So that's why I thought it was an easier give. But I also have a bill out there that expands the tax credit from $500 to $1,500 and expands the uses of that credit to a myriad of options. So it isn't just strictly school fees and books. It says, look, you can use this for tutoring. You can use this for athletics. You can use this for music lessons. You can use for everything that treats the whole child. You can use it for summer programming because we want to talk about how kids need to be active and busy in the summer.
That's right.
We don't want to allow them to use that tax credit for it. Well, why not?
That's right.
It should be used. That way you get actually the public school parents should be all involved in expanding this tax credit because it is expensive to raise children in Illinois. And my tax credit bill that expands that use is a recognition of it.
I guess one of my concerns would be, you want to offer kids in the inner city school choice, but are there viable alternatives to the public school in those inner cities?
Well, there are some that are closing. Unfortunately, the Archdiocese has closed a number of Catholic schools in recent years, and they've now put on this charter school cap, which is ridiculous. So charter school is a public school, so it wouldn't really fall under this realm. But honestly, if you start to offer these vouchers, I think what you see is you're going to see maybe some people that are have that entrepreneurial talent actually come in and hopefully open up some schools to provide that choice.
So if people want to support this, they should call their state lawmakers.
That's right.
Yes, that's true.
So I'm going to give the phone number, 217-782-2000 is the phone number, the switchboard to the Capitol. Ask for your state rep and leave a message saying support Jeannie Ives' bill and school choice. Does it work? Does it influence? Does it persuade, do you think? May it, your colleagues down there in Springfield? Say yes.
Yeah, okay. It can. It can, but they have to it takes a lot of voices. It takes a lot of voices.
I think you can make an economic argument for this because if you have better trained kids in a private school setting, and your bill would cover faith-based schools, right?
It's actually, vouchers are constitutional, by the way. That's already been tested in the court system. Essentially, the voucher goes to the parents. So just like you have a MAP grant that can go to private schools at the higher education level, there's no difference here. There's absolutely no difference. So you just basically have it go to the parents and the student, and the money follows the student just like we do in higher ed. There's no difference here.
All right. It is House Bill 443 is Jeannie Ives' school tuition vouchers bill.
And the economic argument I was making was that if you have a better educated young workforce available, employers are more likely to stay in Illinois or come to Illinois.
Well, Illinois has actually been known for its educated workforce. It's just that it's pockets. It's pockets. So the educational argument here is more that, you cannot have these kids fester so that you have the highest black unemployment in the nation. And part of that is a result that the kids were not educated. And so this is cyclical in nature, and it's in a pocket. So you're going to still have well-educated folks in Illinois. It's just that you can have to break the cycle of poverty by getting these other kids educated and getting the opportunities that they need. And that's even more important.
And that also then relates to violence and gang activity.
Absolutely.
And the murder rates.
Absolutely.
So, and then the incarceration rates, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
this is a pro-family issue, isn't it?
Big time. So yeah. House Bill 443, please call your state representative and ask him or her to support, co-sponsor, get behind House Bill 443.
All right, that's State Representative Jeannie Ives talking with us today about the state budget and school choice. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.